I'm Amy Otto, and I'm joined by Lee Cantor today. We're really excited about our guest, but before we introduce Brent Leary. Brent Leary.
With CRM Essentials.
And I can't wait to hear all about it, Lee. But first, you want to touch on some networking events?
Put it on me. You want me to touch on them, huh?
That's, you know, he's feisty
that's,
today.
That's a good delegation there. Okay. The most important networking event is this evening at Cafe Intermezzo in, what is it, Dunwoody? How do they
describe
them?
Yeah, I think it's Dunwoody.
By Perimeter Mall. And we're having a fast pitch event from 5 to 7. Tell people what's at Cafe Intermezzo. Amy, I've never been there.
You've really never been there?
Never.
Oh, you're in for a treat. Now, don't eat the rest of the day is my advice. The desserts are huge, and they are so good. And they've got great coffee. They've got wine. You name it. But every kind of dessert you can imagine. I mean, really, like 35 kinds of desserts.
Really? So it's a dessert place.
It's a dessert place.
Coffee?
Yes. And lots of fun people to meet tonight.
That's right. I know of at least 20. Andy said he's got another 20. You probably brought 20.
Yes. I've got at least 20. It'll be a good time.
It'll be a big crowd. But there's other events going on in the city. And do you have? I have the Atlanta Chamber events for this week. I bet you don't have that.
I don't have that, Lee. You have that.
I'll take care of that.
Thanks.
On the 18th, there's a net weaving with Bob Littell. Have you ever done that?
I've never done the net weaving.
Net weaved?
No.
No.
I think I have not woven.
Brent, it seems like you're shaking your head. You've net woven, weaved?
Actually, I have. I had a chance to meet Bob Littell a few years back and went through the whole net weaving process.
Well, maybe you could touch on that a little bit more in your interview, because I'm dying to know about net weaving.
Okay, you need to get your knitting needles out.
So. That's right.
Boom, boom.
Yeah, forget networking. That's old school.
Get my knitting needles out as if they've been put away.
And on the 19th, Deloitte is hosting a business-to-business networking at its best event. And you can go to the Chamber's website, metroatlantachamber.com, and get more information about that. And we also like to plug the Gwinnett Chamber. I don't have any of their events, but it's gwinnettchamber.com. And always check out fastpitchonline.com, powercore.net if you're networking here in the city, if you want a closed networking group, or bniatlanta.com. And my favorite, AtlantaEvent.com, that has all of those events on them.
Wow.
See that?
So that's the one to go to.
Well, that's where, if you want all of the events in one place, that's the place.
You've been hiding that from me.
Yeah, I got to have secrets.
Lots of them. All right. You want to introduce Brent?
No, it's all you now.
Okay.
This is your show.
Brent. Brent's the co-founder and partner of CRM Essentials, a consulting firm focused on small to mid-size enterprises. He has over 15 years of IT and management consulting experience working on projects for Microsoft, Research in Motion, Bell South, Compaq, and the state of Georgia's Department of Economic Development. Wow, he's way overqualified for the show, Lee.
Yeah, he's definitely the smartest guy in the room.
Definitely the smartest guy in the room. I want to hear all about it. Welcome to the show, Brent Leary.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
First of all, I'd like to get to know a little bit more about you. You know, that's the personal touch I like about this. Y'all are all about business, but I'm just so curious.
That's your job.
I am so curious. So, you know, what gets you excited? What gets you up every day and gets you excited about your job?
Wow. There's like three or four different answers to that. What gets me up every day? I need to get money so I can pay for bills and stuff. So I got to work and that kind of thing.
You're money motivated.
Among y'all, not necessarily just money motivated. What I'm interested in right now, it's football season. Hey, we're in the Southeast. It's
exactly.
SEC.
What's with the Yankees hat?
Well, this is a black Yankees hat from the Negro Leagues. I'm a collector of Negro League paraphernalia.
Okay.
I made the mistake of wearing this hat up in Boston, though, a few months. they didn't get the distinction.
Exactly.
So how long have you been in Atlanta?
I think going into 9 years. I came down here to take a job originally with PricewaterhouseCoopers when they were telling me that there's so much customer relationship management work in Atlanta. You're not going to ever have to leave town. We got so much for you to do. My first assignment was in Mobile, Alabama for 3 months.
Wow.
And that was your last time there? You quit?
Well, I did stick it out for a little longer, but I think out of the 2.5 years that I was working with PwC, I spent a grand total of maybe 3 months actually working in Atlanta.
So what's your background that took you to Price Waterhouse? I mean, what's your educational background?
Well, I have one.
That's a good thing. I can tell.
They cast a wide net there. PW, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you know, just walk in there. No, actually, I come from a household of educators. Both my parents are teachers and vice principals and all that kind of stuff, counselors. And I got my undergraduate degree in accounting, hated it, went right to graduate school and got an MBA in management information systems, and went down the path of programming, application development, doing a lot of work with pharmaceutical companies, helping their sales and marketing teams learn or use technology to sell to doctors and all that kind of thing. And then I wanted to do some independent consulting. Did that for about 5 years. And that's when I decided I actually wanted to move to Atlanta. And I was looking for opportunities down here, and PricewaterhouseCoopers just so happened to be the best one. So
great.
Now, when you made this, that was a pretty big shift, I guess, from accounting into what you're doing now. And so has there been any mentors that kind of guided you to that path, or this was kind of self-discovery?
Well, my sheer hate for accounting got me out of accounting.
Yeah, you didn't notice that at accounting 101?
No.
Of the hate didn't.
You know what? It was like me against the professors there. University of Delaware, there was some sort of thing going on where they were trying to weed out as many people as possible, and I did not want to be one of those weeded out. We actually had a professor that attached drop ad forms to the first exam results.
Oh, man.
And he gave a 5-minute break, and he had already signed the ones. So as he gave out the results, anybody who had that attached with his signature, he was expecting them not to come back after the 5-minute break.
Man, that's a serious read out there.
It's brutal.
That was a little intimidating, huh?
Yeah, so me being the type of guy I am, although I hated accounting, I was not going to let these guys get the best of me. So I went through 4 years of torture just so I could get the degree and then realize I can't stand this stuff and I had to do something else.
Wow.
That's a big shift. So I guess my question has to do with all of your IT savvy abilities. And before we forget, let's touch on the net weaving. You know, there's so much networking and a lot of things done on the internet now. It's hard to sift through the ones that are valuable. Maybe you can, you know, touch on that and then let us know what net weaving is.
Boy, it's funny because I just did I do a lot of blogging in different areas and for different sites. And I just did a blog called The Thin Line Between Social Networking and Not Working. And there's like 10,001 social networks out there. And I just realized I joined one, and then I realized, how many of these things have I joined?
Right. You lose track.
Yeah. And I started counting. You know, I got MySpace. I got LinkedIn. I got Facebook. And then there's the local ones. Like there's one called Southern Fried Tech here. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that.
Yeah,
one.
Sure. With Jeff Haney.
Jeff Haney, absolutely. Yeah. He's been on one of our podcast shows. And so I'm like, okay, how much time am I actually spending on this? And am I realistic with my expectations? It's like, okay, I'm looking for customers and relationships that may lead to some business. And so I had to take a step back from a lot of it because after looking at it, a lot of that time was not really marketing or business development. It was, you know, Biff is telling me about the movie he just went to or something like that. So I had to sort of really take a hard look at it. And there's actually an application out there that this guy built called Not Working. And it measures the time you spend on social networking sites and then the amount of money you could have made if you were actually working
instead. That's good.
So you got to be careful about it.
What are your top three online social networks that you would throw out there?
Facebook is really interesting. And it's funny because 3 months ago, I wasn't getting any Facebook invitations from, you know, these professionals and industry guru kind of folks. But all of a sudden, I think after Facebook sort of opened up the platform.
Right, for all the application builders.
Yeah, absolutely. And then they started rolling in, man. I mean, I get probably like 3 or 4 of those a week. I used to get 5 or 6 LinkedIn invites, but now I'm getting more Facebook invites than LinkedIn at this point.
Now, when somebody approaches you, what's your routine with that? Like, how do you vet them, and or you respond to everybody?
Oh, no. Put them through the Google test.
The Google test?
The Google test.
What's the Google test?
It's one of those things you can do online, but I really like to do it when, you know, when you go to a networking event. You guys just mentioned your networking event. This is going to happen. Okay. Somebody's going to do this. So you're going to meet somebody you haven't really met or don't know anything about. You're going to talk to them, have a pretty good conversation. Right. They're going to tell you they move heaven and earth, that they built on the sixth day they rested, and all this kind of stuff. So they great business, all this experience. You're going to go back to your home office. You're going to go to Google. You're going to put their name in or the company name in. And if nothing comes back, guess what, folks? I'm not spending a whole lot of time trying to figure it out. Because if you did all that you said you did, there better be something on the web to back it up.
Right.
So that's you fail the Google test if you don't have anything come back.
So did you Google us before you decided to be on this?
Well, well, you were vetted.
Were we screened?
You were screened. You know, Bill Jula from Fast Pitch Networking. He's a pretty good voucher.
Okay, so that was good.
So the Google test, I mean, that is interesting. I have experience with some of those online networking things, and in some ways they really work for you. I've had people find me on LinkedIn for consulting jobs, and it's been lucrative and a great deal. However, there are some where I get invitations, you know, 10, 20 in a day, and you have to look through. You know, yeah. I don't need Mary Kay and a lot of, you know,
I don't
a lot
either.
Of those. So
LinkedIn is actually great because I became sort of a LinkedIn snob because you can see how many people are in your network, but the recommendations, you can see who's recommending you.
Right.
And if you got somebody like I'm in IT and I do a lot with small business. So it was important for me to have somebody recommend me from a company like Microsoft. And from an industry guru like a gentleman by the name of Paul Greenberg. So when people see my LinkedIn profile, yeah, it's nice to see, you know, whatever number of connections you have, but it's really nice to see who's recommending you, and that gives you some instant credibility as well.
Right. I like to use LinkedIn for like if I'm trying to reach somebody, like say we were looking for somebody at Nintendo, so I put in Nintendo and I want to see like maybe, you know, how far away am I from that person, you know?
The Kevin Bacon thing.
Right. You know, like, oh, look, I'm only two guy. I just have to get this person to ask this other person. I'm there.
Yeah, that's so true.
Absolutely.
And all the Google test, any suggestions on how to get your Google rating up?
Blogging,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I call blogger. It your GQ, not the magazine. Google quotient. You gotta up it. That's like the number of links that come back when people search and find you when they put your name in the Google. Easy things. It's five things that you can do real easily. One is just to comment on industry blogs. If you're trying to build your rep in a particular industry, go to the person who's the man or the woman, and they typically have a blog. Start commenting on some of those and put some real thought into the comment. Don't just say, "Wow, that's great." You know, it's not going to get a whole lot of response from people.
But do you put you also put a link to your website, or you put some identifying?
Absolutely, a lot of them will let you either put a link to your email address or to your website. One, particularly if you do a good job with it, that goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is people always buy books from Amazon.com, and a lot of them are buying books in their industry, and they don't take the time to write a little book review on Amazon.com because it's now a social network. You have a full-fledged profile there. People can look at all the book reviews you've had. And if you put a lot of thought into them and you do a great job, people rank how effective your review was. People actually start to contact you based on those kinds of things.
So has that happened to you through Amazon?
Absolutely. Yeah, and it wasn't even that great a book review. Actually, what happened to me was even more interesting. I do a blog. I have my own blog at BrentLeary.com, and I had wrote a book review for a gentleman, a CEO of a company called Right Now. It's a big CRM company, and he wrote a book on bootstrapping your business, really interesting for small business folks. And he asked me to do a book review, and so I did one, you know, because I thought it was a pretty interesting book. And I did it. I actually put it on my blog. And then, like, I don't know, 2 months later, I got an email from this guy I never heard of before. His name was Frank Warren, and he was introducing himself. My name is Frank Warren. I do the Post Secret blog, and I was wondering if you would review my book for your blog. I was like, who is this? I never heard of this guy. And I asked a lot of people in my network.
You Googled him.
Yeah, of course. That's when I was like, oh, how did I not? When I Googled this guy, he had the 25th ranked book on Amazon.com.
Wow.
He had just been on the Today Show, and he was quoted in USA Today. And I was like, I was really feeling stupid at that point because like, how come I didn't hear this? And why does he need me to review his book? It's already number 25 on Amazon. But I was like, hey, shoot, why not? He sent me, he gave me the number of his publisher.
Mm-hmm.
I told him I'd be interested, and they sent me the book, and they sent me all this other information. I wrote the review for my blog. That has been the number one draw to my blog, and it's been 2 years now.
Wow.
Because people, I mean, that's like a top 100 or 1,000 site on the web, his Post Secret blog.
Right.
And just for those who aren't familiar, that's where people tell like a deep, dark secret about their lives, and they put it in a postcard.
And then they mail it.
And they mail
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. I never heard of that before.
I heard of it. I didn't know the guy's name that was behind it, but I had heard that site was just like all over the world, right? People send in postcards.
Absolutely.
And then he did a picture book with the pictures.
That's the book he asked me to review.
Right.
And that all came about just from blogging and commenting
on somebody else's.
Wow.
Absolutely.
So he saw your review and said, hey, that would be a good guy to review mine.
Although he might not have liked my review.
So blogging, writing a book review on Amazon, what are some other ways?
Slideshare.net. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but most business people have done some sort of a PowerPoint presentation at some point in their life. And most of them are probably sitting on a hard drive somewhere collecting, I was going to say dust, but whatever you collect on a hard drive. Slideshare.net is a site where you can upload PowerPoint presentations, and it's basically like the YouTube of PowerPoint. There's thousands upon thousands. People are searching for PowerPoint information. They can find it. They tag it. They can comment on it. They can vote it, whether it's their favorite or not. And it draws a lot of attention to the people who create the PowerPoint.
And is it like a communal thing where you can take people's slides and borrow
Absolutely.
One?
Absolutely. You can drop in to your blog or to a web page the code that allows you to put in somebody's PowerPoint.
Oh, so like if there's like a good slide about some industry statistic, you can just kind of pop
some
it in.
Some people allow you to actually download the PPT file.
Wow.
Or some people, you're just able to embed their PowerPoint into your blog or
so
website.
They get the credit.
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
Oh,
yeah.
Great.
And you can see how many times it's been viewed and how many people voted their favorite and things like that.
Wow.
So that's a real easy way to do it. We talked a little bit about social networks. Get involved with those.
Right.
I mean, I like Facebook a tremendous amount because I've built not a big network yet because I've only been on it for about a month and a half or 2 months. But I'm learning so much about the people in my network without having to ask them or to invite them to do things. For example, there's a Facebook application called, I think it's Magazine Rack, and there's one for books as well, where you can put on there what are the magazines you read.
Right.
And anybody else in your network who has that application, if they do the same, you can see all the information about what magazines are being read in your network or what books. And I actually bought a book based on multiple people in my network having positive comments about
right.
it.
Right. What book?
There's one called Wikonomics.
Right.
Which is really interesting book.
Uh-huh.
Another one was The Search, and is all about how Google has taken over the world, right. basically. So,
how do you keep up with everything? I mean, when you talk about the magazines, I mean, I get so many.
He was an accountant. He's super organized.
I was never an accountant. I take offense to that, sir. It's part of my job because I sort of watch this whole industry and try to help small, mid-sized businesses figure out a strategy for using some of these technologies to find, catch, and keep good customers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to know, you know, what the trends are, what people are looking at, and how they're using it, and what's the best way to actually use some of this stuff.
I think it's important what you're doing is that you're actually using this stuff. And there's a lot of kind of guru people out there that are just kind of theoretically talking about these things. And they're not, you know, getting their feet wet by actually using the stuff they're recommending people.
Yeah, small businesses, they don't need theory.
they need
practical.
Help.
Right.
That's I have a book about weight loss, and that's one of the things that we talk about is that sometimes you need help, but sometimes you need a helper, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I mean, there's so many things out there.
Right. How do you discern what's real, what's not, what's going to be around tomorrow, what's not?
So in any kind of sales job, it's so important to manage the customer relationship. And it sounds like that is really your forte. I've been selling for 20 years, so I still sort of have an old-fashioned mentality that face-to-face time is best, or a simple phone call. I mean, at what point do you draw the line and say the online, the email is the lazy man's way of selling and get back to...
You looked at me funny when you said that, too.
Oh, no, I didn't mean to look at you funny. I mean, how do you integrate the two? That's my question.
Well, the thing about the technology and things like the web, they expand the reach. They expand the pool. And so in order to really separate the wheat from the chaff, you got to use the technology to allow you to maybe warm up some things that aren't ready. But the ones that are ready, the people that are ready, that's when you want to engage them and get into face-to-face and things like that. So, for example, web conferencing, using things like WebEx, it allows you to reach more people in a more geographically dispersed area. So it allows you to sort of use the technology to feel people out, to understand where they are. Is it somebody, are they ready for me to engage? Or is it somebody who I don't want to drive across town for just yet because, hey, gas is almost $3 a gallon, and they're not ready. They just want a free lunch at this point. So you use the technology to keep and engage people in the most effective way. Send out emails. Use web events, webcasts, so that you can still keep in contact with them, but you're sitting in the comfort of your office and you're reaching more people. And then when it's appropriate, and they'll let you know when they're serious and you have your ways of checking, you know, like how you screen people, when they get to the point where they're ready, that's when you want to do the face-to-face engaging.
And that's what you do with your company, right? You take a...
Absolutely. I mean... We have customers like in Las Vegas that there was no way I was going to do a face-to-face with them beforehand. Right. Matter of fact, we never even met them face-to-face.
Right.
They just saw the information that we provide on the web and the different formats, and they felt comfortable enough to give us a call, and then we figured out a way to work together.
Right. So at first, you kind of have a big funnel where you're just trying to get people to raise their hand to say, hey, I'm kind of interested. Then you deepen the relationship, and then when it's time to close the deal, then maybe there's face-to-face or maybe just a phone call.
Absolutely. I think that's – in particular with small businesses, because we're always trying to find good customers, you got to figure out a process that allows you to first find the people that you think would be good customers, then try to engage them in some form, maybe a newsletter, maybe a phone call, or maybe a webinar. And then use the technologies to figure out, okay, this is where this group of people is. We'll just keep sending them some emails. This group, maybe we'll send them a case study. This group, okay, I think we're ready to engage them in a face-to-face.
Interesting. So once you actually have the client relationship and you're developing it, you might categorize a client as, you know, somebody that is best to reach by email or online, or somebody that does require a phone call. I mean, that's a way that you might then categorize your customers?
Absolutely. Customers, vendors, partners, everybody wants to be communicated to in the way they feel most comfortable. And the information that they need may be different based on the kind of customer they are. So you try to figure out, A, what kind of information should we provide? B, what would be the best channel to communicate that to this segment of our customer base or our prospect base, and then create the content and the channels that work most effectively to get to those people.
Now, what do you work best with, business to business or your company or business to consumer?
Most of it is business to business. A lot of small and mid-sized companies, they are providing products and services to other SMBs or also the enterprises. And so they're looking for ways to first find and target the right kind of customers and then try to figure out the best way to engage them and then get them involved into the sales process and to, you know, when is the right time to go for the sales presentation? When's the right time to go through contracts and negotiations? Who are we engaged with the right person to make the decision? So it's really mostly longer sales cycles as opposed to maybe the consumer buy where they go onto a website for a book like Amazon.
Right, they like it or they don't.
Yeah, it's $20, so they feel comfortable about making a quick decision.
Right.
I want to touch on the podcasting component. How has that worked for you? You know, maybe give, just for people that don't know what podcasting is, just a brief overview of that, and then let us know how
and
it's worked for you.
And your radio show. Well, do you podcast only your radio show, or you podcast other things?
Whew, all these questions, so little time. Actually, we basically take our radio show, which is Technology for Business Sake, and turn it into a podcast. Because podcast is nothing more than what I consider to be a radio show anyway, but it's on the web. And so, or it could be as simple as somebody just turning on a recorder and a microphone and reciting some sort of whatever they want to recite into the mic and put it on the web.
Right. It's just an audio file.
Absolutely. So it can be as simple as that or more, you know, a little more complex like a radio show. And so what we like to do is take it, try to provide the information that, hey, we're interested in ourselves, but we think small, mid-sized businesses who listen to our show are going to be interested in, and try to get interesting guests, sort of like what you guys do.
Imagine that. So people that have clicked on the podcast button, now they know what podcast is,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I think there's so much interest in podcasts, and I get a lot of questions about, I'm sure you guys do too, that people are trying to figure out how do we entertain adding it into our business mix for marketing purposes. And and I'm seeing a lot of businesses go that direction. WebEx did a survey when they were building their online community, and we had one of their executives on, and I just asked them, why is podcasting a part of your community right now? Because most people don't start out with podcasting with it. She said, well, we did some research and found that 60% of the CIOs that we surveyed, they listen to podcasts like when they're on a treadmill, and they make buying decisions based on this kind of information.
Right.
Right.
So
right.
It's just another way of providing information
exactly.
to people.
It's another media choice. You know?
Absolutely.
I love listening to Fitness and the Fat Guy while I'm making dinner. Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy. I should know that because I call him the doctor. Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy. I mean, it is great. You know, I open up my laptop and it's great entertainment while I'm making dinner and I'm listening.
People just put it on the background. They're doing something. I mean, it's not, you don't have to engage. How do you feel about like the YouTube where it's video as opposed to audio? What's your thoughts on that?
That's fine. It's just make great creative content. Make it so it's entertaining. Make it so it's interesting. I don't care what format it's in. Mm-hmm. YouTube is great because it's another vehicle.
Right.
And you're starting to see people now, not only are they making videos, but they're letting people make video responses now instead of just regular comments.
Right. Now, from a business standpoint, you see them as equals, or do you think that one works better for business, audio or video?
I think it really depends on what your business is, what your audience is, and what your customers are telling you they want. I mean, customers may like it. For example, Cisco, if you go to YouTube and put in Cisco routers, you get a slew of videos, little demonstration videos to help you how to set up a router. That stuff works great in video format.
Right, perfect.
There are some other things that, you know what, they work just fine just by listening to people.
Right. That's a great example. That is a really good example. We're honing in on time here. Just quickly, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Well, let's see. I'll probably be about another 20 to 30 pounds heavier.
So you can take my spot at the fat guy.
Yes, you could. They need a new fat guy.
Well, I hope sort of exploring where things are going with the web and how to continue to help small businesses.
Do you believe, like Mark Cuban said, that the internet's done, that's getting boring now? Do you buy that?
Maybe if I was a billionaire. And actually, it's really fascinating to me what's going on and to think about what may happen in the future. I'm sort of waiting for it to see what happens with it.
Yeah, it's so hard. I mean, 5 years from now, you just don't know where technology will be. It's so hard.
Now, I'm sitting here with this iPhone, and 5 years ago, if you had told me that something like this would be out, and I'm able to sip around on the web and use touchscreens and flip things around and music, everything, with a little guy like this, no, I would have never guessed.
Dick Tracy saw this.
Or Buck Rogers, man. Buck Rogers.
That's right.
Buck Rogers. Did either of you guys ever have a bag phone? Do you remember the first cell phones? They were huge. Right. They were like in an actual huge bag.
Right. I missed that on that one.
To carry it around. So what's the best way, like, tell everybody all your websites and all the ways to hear and learn about all the stuff you got going on?
Okay. Well, you can check out my blog at brentleary.com. I try to write about between 3 and 5 times a week on that.
And that's what you recommend all people that are blogging, right? Somewhere in that range?
Yeah, it really depends. There's been so much back and forth about blogging, but the fact is the last Technorati report, they had tracked 70 million blogs, 120,000 new blogs get created every day, and I forget how many millions of posts are created every day. So get used to it. And business people are really trying to figure it out. But I do think it's the best way to get yourself noticed. You make yourself an expert if you write good, detailed content, not just skimming from other people, but really put some thought into it.
So are you saying when you say 3 to 5 times a week, you're coming up with original thought-provoking content?
I didn't say I was.
That's for other people.
No, but I think, you know, you don't have to – it doesn't have to be something earth-shattering or anything like that, but just little observations or maybe some tips and tricks on some things that are going on within your industry or with a product or whatever. Things like that, and do it on a consistent basis. Maybe if you only do it once a week but you do it every week, that's really good. But that's a great way. And so, BrentLeary.com. You can also check out our show site, which is businesstechnologyradio.com. We do a show every week, and we update the site, and we get great guests. You know, we're really happy, and it's really aimed at helping small and mid-sized businesses understand all this technology stuff, and we get expert guests to come on and help us out with it. So
I forgot the Aflac duck.
So you're going to have to quack yourself? Is that what you're saying?
Aflac, Aflac, Aflac! I can't believe I forgot the duck.
Man.
Thank you all for listening to Atlanta Business Radio. This is Amy Otto and Lee Cantor. We look forward to talking with you soon.
Are you looking for more visibility for your business? Look no further than Fast Pitch. Free advertising, search engine marketing, preferred rankings, and more. There's never been a better place to market and network your business. For the price of 3 cups of coffee, give your business that boost it needs. Visit us at fastpitchonline.com.